of the Living Geek.
It's telling me Brian needs to update before we can add him to the call.
That tends to happen a lot. I expected it since I had to, I hadn't even been on for 3 weeks.
Oh, hey, yeah, there you are.
No, I'm not.
Huh, it was telling me you need an update. Alright, I guess it's fine now.
How the hell would it know if I need to update?
I don't know. It was telling me that you run in a different version or something.
What's a lying son of a bitch?
Did you listen to last week's episode, Nick?
No, I haven't.
Okay, good. Don't bother. It's not good.
Yeah.
Well, it was pretty, pretty bad.
How dare you?
I was just not feeling it.
Well, that was the thing. I mean, it was Thanksgiving, so nobody was in a mood to do anything.
Yeah. I think we should have waited one more day. Like, just been, it's Thanksgiving. We can wait. I don't know.
Well, I worked on Saturday, so I wouldn't have been able to do that either. That was the one day of the week that one day of that weekend, rather, that I worked. And by then, it's like, whatever. You start to lose relevance after more than a couple of days.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, what really sucks is tomorrow I'm going to have to edit this thing. I haven't edited anything in a while. I don't know if I'm going to have the patience for it.
You'll do fine. We won't need that much editing this week. It'll be okay.
You say that. We'll see how it really goes.
Uh-huh.
I'm looking at a oil painting of Archduke Franz Joseph from 1840. He looks like a little fancy lad.
That's what happens in the 1840s. People got fancy.
Oh, he's a little fancy lad. A little curly hair and a stick of some sort. Yep. Anyway, let me know when you guys are ready.
I'm ready.
Are you ready, Brian, or are you still entering notes and stuff?
Oh, dude, the notes are like, ha, then, you know.
Wait, your note here says that Adam played his idol for Hannah and it didn't matter?
It didn't. It was 5-4.
Hold on.
Yeah, there's a reason he only showed 4 with Hannah's name on him and said this doesn't count, because there were only 4.
Where's the vote?
Let me make it easier. Will voted for Zeke. It was 5-4.
Yeah, it was 5-4. Oh, that's weird. It was just the way that they... excuse me. It was the way that they showed it that messed with my expectation. Because I was kind of keeping an eye on it to see who Will voted for when... You know how they showed the votes at the end of the episode. And so I saw him vote, but I didn't bother checking the rest.
Well, you already knew the rest.
No. I didn't know who exactly voted for whom. But, I mean, I'm looking at it now and I see...
Yes, you did. What are you talking about?
I wasn't paying attention. It doesn't matter. It does not matter. We'll get there when we get there.
Anyway.
Yeah, anyway. All right. What was the episode name? About to Have a Rumble? Was that this week or last week?
Yeah, that was it. That was this week.
Okay. You know what? This is a very soft re-entry because I've been gone for 2 weeks.
Ayo.
Yeah, shut up. What, I had that focus group 2 weeks ago, which paid $100 to look at some dumb app, and they gave me dinner, so I was happy. Money, please.
Yeah, most...
And then last week was Thanksgiving, so I was busy for that, so thank you guys for holding down the fort.
Sure.
So kind this... of. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
You didn't listen to it.
It was really not a good episode.
I'll tell you.
It's okay, though.
None of these are good episodes.
No, we do a good job more often than not.
If we were kindergartners, our report card would just say N for needs improvement.
That's N-I. N.
No. Yeah, that's who say knee.
No, N is for needs improvement, I is for improving, S is for satisfactory, and O is for outstanding. I don't know what school you guys went to, but evidently its grading system was all whack.
No, the NI is not introduced. That's what it is.
Not introduced? Oh, yeah. We would also
done it yet.
We would get very high marks for plays well with others, though, I feel. Because we do our job, and we advertise for other shows on this network, which happens to be Night of Living Geeks. You know, I was going to say this network happens to be Outwit, Outplay, Outcast, but it's like, wait, no, that's not right. That's why I shouldn't
no cigar.
That's why I shouldn't try anything new or fancy ever. I don't care. All right.
I don't know what you mean about advertising on this network. You advertise for, like, other ones that aren't on this network all the time.
Only, like, half the time. I don't know what you're talking about.
Welcome to comics.
I've never mentioned that. I've never mentioned that garbage podcast. All right. Anyway, so this episode, right? I'm a little bit out of practice, so you guys are gonna have to guide me. But this episode starts with them getting back from the tribal council before, where they had voted out. Well, they didn't even vote anyone out, did they? Yeah. Yeah. That rocks. Okay. You know what? I will mention, because you guys covered last week, but I will mention that that rock thing was the craziest bug nuts bonkers shit I have seen in a long time. I loved every second of that final tribal council, especially when Hannah's like, when I think it was, shoot, I don't remember who it was. Maybe it was David. They're just like, guys, nobody. Oh, no, it was Will. Sorry. When Will said, guys, none of us want to go home. We know it's one of these two. Let's just decide amongst ourselves. And then nobody has to go. And they still couldn't do it. Oh my god, that was fucking awesome. I was so scared that it would be David or somebody else that I actually liked, and the fact that it was Jessica was just perfect.
I like Jessica, mostly because she was on my team. She's gone.
She was okay at best. But anyway, this episode started with the aftermath of that, which was Zeke talking about how he dodged a bullet and he's in control now and he's going to win the game. He'll be Final Five and he just needs to beat David, but he won this battle. And so naturally I thought to myself, yeah, he's going to lose. He's out this week.
Yeah, that's the
Kazita. I was just like, oh, poor Icarus flying too close to the sun on wings of wax.
There wasn't a whole lot that happened before the reward.
No, there really wasn't. No, it really just kind of jumped right to it. There was Jay going off on Adam again for some reason. I don't remember why. And that was why I was just like, dude, I don't care. I don't like him. I don't like Jay. I can't stand Jay.
He's growing on me week to week.
No, fuck that guy.
Yeah.
Nice. He's growing on me more and more as he's getting further and further away from his bros. Like, him as a person, independent of the people that he feels like he needs to impress or feels like he wants to hang out with and feel cool around, once those people are out of the picture and you just see him for who he is, I like him a lot more. And I like what he does for Adam. Like, I like that he doesn't have the pettiness that marked the rest of his group, right? Like, Taylor was super petty and vindictive, and I guess he did some petty stuff before too, but Will was super petty and vindictive. It still is.
Oh, Will was very immature this episode, but I mean, he's 18, so of course he's going to be immature. Yeah. And he demands to be...
I appreciate that Jay rises above that to bring Adam to the reward.
Yeah.
That's not why he brought him to the reward. He brought him to the reward so that he wouldn't vote against him.
Yeah.
He didn't give a fuck about Adam.
No, I genuinely think that he was doing it to pay back the respect of not using the... because... This is the one that Adam, if he was ever going to be tempted, this is the one where he would do it.
I knew he would use his
advantage.
I knew he wasn't going to, though. Yeah, exactly. Like, just for me, and you can say yours when I'm done, Brian, but just for me, I knew he wasn't going to as soon as he saw his brother and starts crying, and it's like, I'm not going to use it. And it's like, of course he isn't. I mean, if he used it, he would be gone that night. I mean, there's no reason for him to use it. I actually really like the reward. It's great. But it's the worst reward to actually have, or the worst advantage, rather, to actually have, because as soon as you use it, you just guarantee your second place at best.
Mm-hmm.
No, he absolutely should have used it when David got a free ride to the reward.
Last week?
Because then that would have been like, well, big deal, because, you know, he took it from someone who didn't earn it anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Or
nobody's going to feel cheated.
Or he could have used it as soon as Jay won and then said, I'm taking Jay, and Jay, you determine the rest of the people. I just want to be sure that I go with my brother. I mean, that wouldn't have won him any friends, but it also wouldn't have cost him any friends.
That's true. Jay is kind of he's on the bottom of wherever he is.
The reward challenge itself was kind of cool. You know, it was that kind of standard one where it's over and under some pylons. Nope, not pylons. What do you call those? Bars? I don't know. Yeah. Whatever. It's a little obstacle course. Wood. Yeah. They had to go over and under wood. Very descriptive. But, you know, they have to follow a rope, and then that rope is really a pain in the ass to get around because it's all knotted up and everything and looped around. They had to dig, which led to a great moment of Adam digging underneath a bar but not digging far enough and then getting stuck.
Because he couldn't get his butt through.
Yeah, he couldn't get through, and then he was just like, I'm sorry, Evan! Or whatever his brother's name is, I don't remember. He's like, I'm sorry!
It was Evan.
Oh, it was Evan? Sweet. I am such a genius, you guys.
Sure.
Super brain, super genius brain.
Just like Wile E. Coyote.
Yeah. Oh, you know the one thing, the thing that I had forgot to mention, is, so they're introducing everyone's families, and weirdly enough, this season, only one husband or wife. Everyone else was a brother or sister or parent. Like, there were no significant others except for Sunday's husband.
Yeah. Well, I mean, a lot of these people are young.
Yeah.
Younger than you would expect to be married. And the ones that are slightly older are Brett, who may or may not be in a relationship. And he may or may not be comfortable having a partner come out.
Yeah.
Given the conversation he had with Zeke before. Who else does that leave? I mean, Will, Adam are too young. Jay, too young. David, I don't believe David's married.
Yeah, I was just trying to think of who even was left from the Gen X.
Zeke, Will. Ken. Ken would have been old enough, but Ken.
Ken can't be tied down. He can't be restricted to.
If his daughter were older, I'm sure it would have been his daughter.
Ken's a pure sex machine, and we saw his brother. And we saw both Zeke and Hannah going,
Yeah.
They want to have themselves a little sexy fatal four-way. That's a wrestling term again.
Okay.
Yeah, but that doesn't make any sense, because in a fatal four-way, you get eliminated.
Oh, yeah. As soon as you're done, you're out.
I guess.
So, Brian, you always hate the loved one's visit, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man, you must have hated all the, like, basically the last 3 weeks of this show. Because there was so much emotions all over the place between David and Adam and this episode.
Uh-huh. I you know, you're talking about, like, who they had out there. I have no idea, because I fast-forwarded past it until the challenge started. I don't give a fuck who you're fucking related to.
I don't know, sometimes it's cool.
No, it isn't.
No, it's like, never. Oh, shoot, who was... I'm trying to remember who it was. It was some woman from, like, Arkansas or whatever, and her brother comes out, and she's just like, and they make, like, pig noises at each other for a bit. That was nice and weird.
That's not cool.
Dad, wasn't it?
No, that was her brother. And then they're all weird and slightly inappropriate towards one another. Not like Lannister inappropriate or anything, but just to the point where you're like, these guys are really weird. I can't remember who it was, but she was great.
Brian, if correct me if I'm wrong, you also hate it because you think it doesn't matter for the game, right?
Yeah. Well, I literally just said that, but yeah.
Yeah. I just wanted to reinforce that, because I finally thought of a reason why it matters, right? Like, as I'm watching these, some of these people have genuine stories related to their relationships back home. Jay does. Adam does. Those stories and those meetings with their family, even Zeke and his charisma with his father, right? Show that, like, those are in stark contrast to Will and Sunday, who are just like, okay, yeah, it's your husband. All right. And they just, you know, they love each other. That's cool. But, you know, they're married. So you kind of expect that, right? So it's, in a way, when you're watching the loved ones visit, you're seeing who has the protagonist power.
What the fuck is that supposed to mean?
Who of these people have the kind of stories and charisma and just general energy that would win them a final tribal? Right? Like, because that's the thing at this point that you're looking out for. So Ken and Zeke maybe are on the same wavelength. They're both really likable. They both have the downsides. But if they make it to the end, they're charismatic. But Ken and his brother... And Zeke and his father don't have the same kind of charisma on top of their story, their backstory, the things that matter for the jury, the way that Adam and Jay do. And so, I mean, I this is important, because if you can look past your own loved one in this interaction and see who else is forming these kinds of bonds that look like they matter more, then those are the people that you need to eliminate. Like, it could be important to the game. I don't know if it ever is, because at this point, so many of these people are like, oh my god, yeah. My third cousin on my father's side twice removed, I missed you so much. Like,
they were just dissolving into puddles.
Right. If you could get past that, then this is a great opportunity to see who has a leg up over you in the final tribal.
It has never made any difference in the final tribal, anybody's sob story. They always try, and that doesn't ever fucking pan out to anything.
Okay, yeah. You know what I would do, Brian? If I were on, before I left, I would tell everyone in my family that we come up with a fake sob story, and then when they come out for the loved ones visit, we can reinforce it.
Yeah, that's what Johnny Fairplay did, and it did not work.
Yeah, and then also you do it in front of everyone, and it puts the target right on your back directly.
Yeah, don't do that. I would only say that it's mattered a little bit, but the thing is, it more matters in the immediate aftermath. Like, not even the actual visit itself. It's more of who you pick to have their loved one visit along with you. Like, that's what it boils down to. Because the thing is, by the end, after 40-some-odd days, everyone has a story. Like, even if it's just like, oh, I lived a regular old normal life, and I never thought I could ever come out here and do all of this stuff, and I have learned so much, and I... Wait, whose name were you trying to say?
David.
David, yeah, exactly. Or that's, I mean, that's just as compelling as someone saying, like, look, I came out here, and I was ready for it, but my mom has cancer, and so it was really hard on me. It's like, everyone gets a story, it's fine. Studs Terkel did an entire...
of that specific story... That pissed me off. Not the story, but it pissed me off when he said, the stakes are higher for me than anyone else. What? Fuck you, you asshole. It doesn't make you special because your mom has cancer. That sucks for you, but it doesn't make you deserve to win anymore. And it doesn't make any sense either. It's not like if you win $1 million, you're suddenly going to find a magical cure just because you have $1 million.
And it's not strictly true. He just doesn't know everyone else's story. Like, doesn't Jay have a family member back home going through cancer as well?
No, his mom already survived cancer.
That's right, that's right. But his family is in crippling poverty, and Michaela's family was in poverty. And you could argue Adam graduated from Stanford, and sure, he's working at a homeless shelter because he feels like it's doing something productive for the world. But he'll be fine. Really, Adam, you could get a decent job, I'm sure. And you can provide for your family when they come. And you're going through rough patch right now, but that's okay. These other people who are in poverty, they might not have the opportunity. Like, this might be their shot. So for you, Adam, to say that it matters more for you, that is a little bit self-centered and hubristic.
Yeah, makes you an asshole.
A little bit.
I disagree, but whatever, it's fine. We're all wrong.
No.
Yeah. Anyway, so it was Will, Sunday, and Adam that Jay brought along. He ended up bringing Adam along because he promised not to use his advantage, and then he brought Will just because he promised Will earlier. I don't really remember why he brought Sunday. It didn't seem too terribly close.
He said he promised her to.
I vaguely remember that.
So. I don't remember that happening either, but I remember him. He said that in this episode, but I don't remember hearing him make that promise.
Well,
earlier.
I think what he said in a previous episode when he was just casting about for anyone to keep him in the game. I think he said, "Look, I'll be with you guys, and I will take you and give you rewards and stuff like that." I think that's what it was, but I'm not going to go back and check.
Okay, so you don't remember it when he said that? You didn't see all 24 times 30 hours of the time they were there before that happened. You know,
what?
You have to edit stuff to some stuff. You don't get to see every single thing they say.
Yeah, I know.
But
if it comes back to matter, you would think that they would have showed you.
Yeah.
You would hope.
Well, we would hope, but then it's like Sunday and Jessica's tiff where they just kind of said in passing, oh, we're angry at each other. Really? When did that happen?
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, and that didn't end up mattering.
No, it did. You're right. Well, the part of the reason it didn't matter is because Sunday and Jessica are mature enough to realize that you can live with somebody so long as it takes you further in the game.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some of the millennials.
We diverted. You were also going to segue in how Adam gave his advantage to Jay.
Oh, yeah. Basically, he gave the advantage to Jay as a reward for being so kind. And I honestly don't know if he's going to like get a chance really to use it. I don't think Jay's long for this world.
See, but this is
if he's in he's in the next episode. That's a chance to use it.
It's a chance, but.
I mean, I like it because this is what I'm saying you should have done for the beginning, right? Adam, give it to somebody else, curry favor, and put the target on somebody else's back. Now everybody knows that this advantage is in the game. It just makes you a little bit, I mean, it's not much more of a target because it doesn't matter like whether or not you're going home or whatever, but he could go back to camp and say, oh, I gave it to Jay. And it was like, oh, that was really nice of you, Adam, to pay him back and like return the favor. And maybe we should get Jay out before he takes away my reward.
Yeah. Now he's a threat.
He should have gone back to the camp and be like, hey, by the way, I gave it to him. You guys, it's not mine anymore.
He might next week.
Well, I'm sure they've been told that, like, he wouldn't have no reason to keep that to himself. But like you say, they can't show everything. Right. They've got to edit some stuff out.
That reminds me, though, there was something we completely forgot to talk about last week.
Your butt.
When Jessica signed over the legacy advantage to Ken, still nobody knows about it. That completely defeats the fucking purpose of you having to give it to someone else.
No, I don't. That doesn't defeat the purpose.
Yes, it does.
Nobody out there
knows it exists except for Ken, who has it.
That's fine. That's just like if Jessica had never told anyone. Just if Jessica had it and never told anyone, it's not like it would be worthless then. It still does something on day 36.
Yeah, but then if they made her give it to somebody right in front of everybody, then it would have made a difference. So the fact that you have to give it to someone means nothing now.
She does say in her thing when she's doing it that she forgot to do it at the time, and she's doing it now. So I don't know if – like that's the thing. This is something they might have thought about but then not thought all the way through. Like, what happens when she's leaving Tribal? Do you stop her on the way out and say, oh, by the way, there's a legacy advantage. Let me explain that. Like, she was really emotionally busted up walking out. You don't want to stop
her. Oh, yeah. That was brutal.
That would have been fucked up to stop her on the way out and make her do that then. Like, that would have been the fucking worst thing to do. Would have been great television, but it would have been terrible as a person.
Yeah. Man, I forgot how just destroyed she was. I felt a little bad laughing as much as I was because, you know, that's a person's dream just fading in front of them. But at the same time, holy shit, was it funny.
And their dream fading for no good reason. Like, when Michaela left, it was brutal, but it was like, well, I see the mistakes you made, and now you know what you could do better next time. Like, she got voted out because she got voted out. But, like, Jessica wasn't even getting talked about that week.
Right. Jessica was totally safe. She wasn't going to win the whole thing, but she was totally safe to advance at least another week. And she didn't get it. Did she ever get any votes cast against her? Oh, yeah, she did when when they voted out someone on that tribe. But yeah, so she had only a couple of votes against her, and she felt perfectly safe, and then this game is just over.
Well, she was also going to be gone like a week and a half, or a month and a half ago, when David played his first idol for her.
Yeah, that's what
she was going to be gone before.
Yeah, that's why I said that there were votes cast against her. Okay. Yeah. I couldn't remember when it happened, who went out home instead, but it doesn't matter. It's not. Oh, it was Paul, I think.
I think that was Paul.
Yeah,
it was Paul.
Yeah. Oh, fuck that guy. The thing that made me laugh a little bit was when Ken got the legacy advantage and he said something along the lines of, this is going to give me a better chance to give my daughter a good life, all that kind of stuff. It's like, you're a model. I have a feeling your daughter's going to be doing okay. She already won the genetic lottery, and I'm sure you're making a decent amount of money. So, yeah, you're going to be fine.
I still, going back to Ryan's spot, I don't think it's wasting it because he can still share with somebody else in terms of information. He can pass it on again. The purpose of making it a legacy advantage they have to pass on is that it's not something that goes home, right? Because what's the point in creating this cool advantage if you're modeling this season? What's the point of creating it if the person who has it takes it home and does nothing? Like, it's infuriating when it's an idol, but I'm sure for us, it would have been annoying, right? Like, Jessica gets this thing. It does something on day 36 that's really cool, neat. Oh, but she got voted out on day 33, so I guess we'll never know what it did, and who cares? Like, and then it really does not matter. So you have to at least make sure it stays there until that day.
No, they don't. They could just do the thing like they do, like where there's an idol clue, like when they go in a reward and it's like right in front of their fucking faces until somebody looks at it. They could have just done that.
Just drop it back into the reward?
Yeah.
I like it this way a little bit better. I mean, I realize you're right, Brian, that it's functionally the same. But I think it's more fun when there's at least some sort of new element to it. Like, because she could have told somebody. She should not have, just like Adam should not have told anyone about his advantage. And if you get any hidden immunity idol, you should never tell anyone. But, you know, she could have.
Yeah, and Ken can now, too. Ken can share with whoever the fuck he wants. He can make it a test of honor when he tells people.
Yeah. Hey, I don't think he's an idiot for that. Anyway.
Was really fucking stupid.
We'll get there pretty quickly we talk more or less about the immunity challenge and the reward challenge. So just that basically bled right into the immunity challenge, which was they had to hold up a heavy pole using just hard to talk or to explain. Things. Yeah, I'll put episode art for this one that'll explain, or a picture's worth a thousand words in that case. But basically they had to either pull two rings to create enough friction or push two rings to create enough friction to hold this pole, which would then fall. And I was trying to figure which one would be better, and I was thinking pushing in the long term.
Pushing would definitely be better.
Because
it's either way.
Either way, it's going to be fucking hard.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you're pulling, you're not going to be able to keep maintaining the same amount of pull for very long.
Yeah.
So Ken looked like he was pulling for most of it.
Yeah, it looked to me like pushing would be the best thing, because you saw Adam lose his concentration twice and it nearly fell out of his thing. And if you're pulling, it's going to be a lot easier to like lose that constant pressure than it is if you're pushing. At least that's just the way it feels to me. I've never been in such a situation, so I don't know for sure.
Yeah.
But this is also a really short challenge, because usually you get a challenge like this and it's like, a couple of people drop out early, and then for the most part, it lasts for like 45 minutes, and then somebody loses their willpower at the very, very end. But this was the exact opposite. This, they're like, oh my god, we've been out here for 4 whole minutes.
That was my favorite. When they faded in, it goes, you guys have been doing this for 4 minutes.
Yeah, I was like, because I was ready for it to be like elapsed time, 10, yeah, something like that. I thought towards the end it'd be like that, but man, and I can't blame them. Those hammers or whatever it was they had looked heavy as hell.
Yeah, and these people are fucking exhausted.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
I could have done this for 1 minute on like a good night's sleep.
I don't even think I could have lasted that long. That's what he said. Adam wins this one. Yay, that's points for me. And that sets off the scramble, which basically begins with Will just... I don't know. Like, okay, yeah, Will's coming out hard, but... Man, is he coming out badly.
Yeah. Well, he wants to... He's correctly identified the problem with this game, right? He knows at this point, with the way he's been playing, even if he does get to the end, he is a goat. He's somebody you've brought along and say, look, Jake, and say, look, I drag Will with me. You all know it. He was my pet vote, and he's my pet now. He is my bitch.
Yeah.
Right? And he knows that. Will knows that that's all he will be if he continues playing the way he is. So he knows he has to make a move. The problem is his big move is essentially changing sides, which can be a big move. Being a big swing at a crucial moment can be a big, big play. But this doesn't come off that way. This just comes off as...
petulant.
Yeah. Comes off as, they don't respect me, so I'm going to go over here where they, I don't know, might respect me, sure. I mean, they're going to have to if I give them my vote, right?
Yeah, he basically did the right thing, but did it in such the wrong way that it became it's his death knell, basically. Like, he's still in the game and he's still going to go probably another week or two. But man, he's not going to win. Like, that was his high watermark. It was his chance if he had played it properly. But that's the thing, you know, as we said, he's 18. He just graduated high school. So, of course, he's not going to be very good. And he's just like every other 18-year-old. It's like, no, 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 no. I know everything. I'm just as qualified as everyone else. It's like, no, you're really not.
Yeah. You're really, really not. And he there's a scene where he's walking with Ken, and he's like, and the confessional is complaining about having to put up with Ken and how Ken is a sanctimonious ass. And, like, yes. But if you want Ken's vote, you gotta put up with him.
Also, the thing is, Ken really, I don't know, I don't feel like Ken was really being that much of a sanctimonious ass. He was just saying, like, look, this is what you need to do. Yeah. That's all he was doing. Like, here's, okay, so we got another note here saying Ken's not smart. I feel that he actually is smart. His problem is that he's too honest and expects everyone else to be honest. And when they don't live up to that expectation, he gets very mad. And right, you know, justifiably so. Like, cause he's treating people with respect and then they're not telling him the truth or they're like, I don't know how to say it. Without sounding like, because I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying, or your response is going to be, yeah, and that within the context of the game is dumb. And yeah, you're kind of right.
That was exactly what I was going to say.
My question is, I don't, what you're saying is true, but I don't see how it makes sense for what Ken did. Like, the dumb thing that Ken did is turn around and immediately go and tell Jay. Like, I get, Ken, you don't trust Will. Will's coming to you saying, I can promise you this vote. Trust me. And I will, you know, you will be spared this week. And Ken probably had a sense that he was on, you know, he knew it might have been him. And so Will, this 18-year-old kid that he'd never worked with, comes out of nowhere and says, I shall be your savior, Ken. So Ken, of course, is going to, you know, have this conversation and try to tread the water. And I get that. And I get the desire to want to test that, to make sure that Will is as honest as Ken expects him or wants him to be. I get that. But I don't get how what he did achieves that. And I don't understand how what he did achieves anything other than pissing Will off and letting the other side know that you know their plan. Which just, all that does is, like, it does nothing useful. All it does is just let them know that you, I can't even speak.
I think it was more about getting Will in line, or, well, more showing people Will's true colors, that he's not with them and that kind of thing. I feel like that's the case. And then the rest of it is just fallout from that. Because if she saw it, how did it go down? He asked somebody to take, or if they wanted to go collect wood. And so you imagine it was just going to be the two of them. It was Jay. Yeah, he's like, hey, Jay, let's go take wood. Giggity. But then it's the next thing you see is him and Jay and Will, and then Zeke comes in. And so basically the whole thing just became a kerfuffle. Like, I feel like there were extenuating circumstances.
No, this all happened because Ken was being stupid. Okay. If fucking Will came and told him, we were thinking if they're going to vote for anyone else, he wouldn't have done it. It's because they said they were going to vote for him. So he went over there and said, like, what the fuck, Jay? You're coming for me? That's what that was. Then it, you know, Will happened to come up and be in. And then he fucking told him, like, you told him that, you dick? You know. It was really, no, it was stupid. There was no, God damn it, when somebody tells you somebody's voting for you, you don't go ask that person if it's true.
No, he didn't ask it. Well, you do you do because Will was the one that they were trying to court to get Zeke out, right? Yeah. And so if Will says, hey, they want to vote you out, you need to find out if you can trust Will or if he's playing you. So I don't know.
But that's the point. They weren't trying to court Will. They weren't doing anything. Will just came up to them out of nowhere and said, hey, guys, you know, you want me to switch? I'm going to switch.
Yeah, you can't trust that. So you got to trust but verify. You got to make sure.
That's not going to verify it, though. Going and telling on him isn't going to verify it. That's going to make it so like they can't do it anymore.
See, but it's not intelligent because I understand what you're saying, Nick, and I kind of trust and verify, sure. But this is not a good way to verify. Yeah. This is the worst, laziest, least intelligent way to verify.
No, go ahead.
I understand what you're saying. I agree. And I know where Ken is coming from, but this was the absolute worst way to do it because all it does is alienate Will to a great degree. And
yeah, but if he's confident, Ken, that is, if Ken is confident, then what does he care about Will being alienated? Because that's it. Here's the thing. At the end of the day, the way this all shakes out, Ken's still in the game. Will has completely lost the game. He's in a much better place now, and one of his allies is protected. In this case, it was Hannah, because they tried to do that that double bluff thing again, like they did last week, where they said, I think it's going to be Ken, which was a nice thing. But you go to the well too many times, and that's going to not work. And so, I mean, that's the thing. In the end, this worked out very, very well for him. Now, maybe because of editing, it doesn't, like, I might just be trying to fill in too many blanks on my own, but I don't know. This worked out really well, and Ken has been pretty good at this game so far.
No, this did not work out really well because of what Ken did. This worked out really well because Will was totally going to not switch on his alliance until the tribal council on Sunday pissed him off.
What did Sunday do again? Actually, let's just get down to that.
She said they came to sway him, and he was like, no, no, you guys are missing the fucking point. This was my idea, goddammit. So then he fucking still voted for Zeke.
Yeah.
Because Sunday pissed him off. It was not because what anything fucking Ken did.
Yeah, and Will heard that as, I'm just your puppet still, which is the whole thing he was upset about.
Yeah. I don't know. I just don't think anyone really... Well, they like Will, but I don't think anyone respects him within the confines of the game, so I don't think that's going to matter. He blew his chance. He's still in the game, but he blew it.
Even at this point, if Will had done... I mean, Will did do the switch at the end, but even if he had done it properly and done it in a much more covert and effective way, I still don't think it would have been enough. Like, at this point, Will needs to make a bigger move than this in order to make something happen. What Will need to do is go to... say, I don't know, Hannah and Adam, and say, look, David and Ken are, you're at the bottom of that four. It's just, that's the truth, right? Or like, he needs to go and pull an alliance together himself. And I don't think he has the social game to do that. And that's like, the fact that he doesn't have enough of a social game to pull his own alliance together somehow is indicative of the fact that he just does not have enough sway to get anything done. And that's why people don't respect him.
Yeah.
Well, Sorry.
Judging from the preview for the next episode, he sure seems to think he does.
Yeah. Well, because this ended up going the way he wanted. So he's going to think he did it.
Andy, what the hell are you talking about? You think that Ken and David are at the bottom of that poor person alliance?
No, I'm saying
they are definitely not at the bottom of the. Hannah and Adam are at the bottom of that four-person alliance, sir.
Yeah, but I mean, but I'm saying if you're Will, you go and you make that argument, and
you said which is true right after you said that. That's not true.
No, I thought I said the opposite. Did I say?
Yeah, you said.
I must have spoken.
I don't remember.
I was saying, go to Hannah and Adam and tell them they're on the bottom, and this tribe, you know, this alliance is Ken and David, and they're going to cut you loose.
Okay, that makes more sense. All right.
That's what I meant to say. That's what I thought I said, but sometimes I misspeak.
It happens. We're professional speakers now. We're going to make mistakes.
But Will just can't do that. Nobody will follow Will.
I don't think his attitude made him any friends there, and I don't think he's going to be in as much control as he thinks.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that when I suggested he go form an alliance and you laughed at that, Nick... That's exactly the reason there's no chance of winning.
Oh, I more laughed because I was thinking of the next episode preview where he was just like, I'm in control. I've got this whole thing wired. It's like, well, Zeke said exact same thing, and you, sir, are no Zeke.
Yeah.
Speaking of Zeke.
God damn it.
Yeah. He gets voted out because, you're right. He's voted
5-0.
Yeah, you're right. It didn't matter. Hannah only had 4 votes against her, but again, they tried to do the double bluff, and it failed. Good job.
Well, that wasn't the double bluff. Will already told them they were voting for Ken, so obviously they could have had to pick somebody else, just in case an idol got played.
No, but he had come up...
Keep voting for Ken to definitely let them know who to play an idol for.
Yeah, but Zeke had already come up with the idea of, no, he's probably going to... Because they wanted to vote for David.
Ken. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, originally... I get what you're saying. But they wanted to vote for David. He was afraid he might have an idol, so he said, double bluff, let's go for Hannah. And since they then said, we're going to go for Ken, the Hannah thing became that double bluff. Because they assumed that if an idol got played, it would get played on Ken.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
That David would rather save Ken than save Hannah.
Sure. Yeah. Well, basically, they just tried to do the same thing that they did last week is all. And it didn't work this time. Adam plays his idol, saves Hannah. Well, does not save Hannah, as a matter of fact, because she only had 4 votes. Which actually, I kind of wonder if they read all 4 because they only... Or you know what I mean? I'm sorry. or sorry, what I'm trying to say is that came out wrong. I'm out of practice. What I kind of wonder is if they know that Zeke had 5 votes against him, or if they just read the 4, then they read the 3, and then said goodbye, Zeke. Like, I'm curious if they told her, by the way, there were this many other votes for him. We're just not going to air it.
No, the when he goes to count the votes, the producers tell him what order to put him in.
No, I know that. I'm saying.
So what the hell are you talking about then?
I'm saying. Did someone say?
Do the people going back to the camp know that Zeke had 5 votes against him?
They know. Yeah.
Well, they.
That's not information they necessarily needed, right?
Yeah, they may suspect, but they don't know. Because I have a feeling
they know. Just like you knew damn well the rest of them were for Zeke before you saw the thing at the end of the episode that proved it.
No.
But it matters because then you need to know if Will flipped or not.
Yeah.
Also, and you might not know that for sure unless you know that it's 5-0.
Also, the other thing is that you can always just lie about who you voted for. And so I'm curious, like I could just say, no, I didn't vote for Zeke. And then they would count up the votes amongst themselves after the fact when they get back home. Get back to camp, they would say, hey, did you vote for this person? Did you vote for this person? Did you vote for this person? And if somebody lies, they'll just say, oh, well, somebody's lying. But they won't necessarily know who. And so I'm just curious how much information they actually have is all.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure they suspect that Zeke got 5 because an intelligent person would, especially if an intelligent person has 24 hours in a day where they're probably not sleeping and have nothing to do except obsess over who got what votes. But I'm just curious, and they don't show that because that's too much behind-the-scenes information, I guess.
I mean, this is the 33rd season. You know damn well they don't by now that they don't conceal any of the votes. Like, you know how many each person got, because they're always going to make it take as long as possible to count them all. So they have to make it, you know.
Clearly, the only way we can get down to the bottom of this is to all apply and get in, and then someone win.
All right.
All right.
Yeah, we'll get right on
I'll
that.
Make a video.
Ugh, too much.
My favorite part of the Adam playing the idol for Hannah is that in the end it didn't matter where Will voted. I mean, it's nice that he voted for Zeke because it means he switched sides or whatever and thinks he's in control. But it just sends the message like this was all for nothing. It didn't matter.
Yeah. It was a great big shaggy dog story. But yeah. It makes Will as irrelevant as he has been this entire time. So I didn't.
But it still mattered because they wouldn't have known who to play the idol for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And at least he. Okay. Yes, it was wasted, so you're going to get your points here. But, I mean, at least he used it to negate some votes. Like, it wasn't a complete whiff like David's was.
That's not going to get me any votes. We were voting on Jay's idol.
Yeah, those points are for a different idol.
Oh, sweet. All right.
Still fine.
I thought it was Adam for some reason.
No.
Yay. All right, cool. Well, anyway, I didn't watch Ponderosa. It looks like you did, Andy, right?
Yeah, basically it's a bunch of Zeke being Zeke. But the interesting thing is Chris holds a grudge for Zeke blindsiding him. Zeke gets there and everybody comes up and gives him a hug and Chris like has his back to him the whole time and doesn't even look at him. And I'm like, yeah, that jives with Chris being the big baby. Sounds about right.
Yeah.
250-pound muscly lawyer baby.
Oh, that's too bad. Yeah, I didn't watch his. You know, I've only watched that first one. I have not watched any of the others. I don't care very much about any of the other people so far. Like, I feel like they've gotten the right people out for the most part. And, I mean, I'll do it when, like, Hannah gets voted out or David gets voted out. But right now, I'm just kind of like, And it doesn't sound like there's much behind-the-scenes stuff going on that's worth noticing. Like, there's no Keith hanging out with Islanders. There's no, I don't remember who it was last season, but they were
Scott
very...
Scott and Jason?
No.
Did somebody say Blue Label?
That was pretty great. No, God, I still have that picture. No, there were two people who did not get along very well at all. And I think one of them was named Nick. Yeah. Nick and someone else. They didn't get along at all. And then as soon as they're actually there just hanging out, they're best friends. Like the rifts were all healed like instantaneously. Oh, it was the Neil
Model Boy Nick.
Yeah, Model and, yeah, Nick and Neil Ice Cream. Yeah, yeah, yeah. They just were cats and dogs in the game. But then they're really cool once they're away from it. And so I just, yeah, there's none of that going on, so I don't really feel a need. So, yeah.
And,
yeah.
And I mean, even by the end of this Ponderosa, Zeke forces Chris to sit down with him, and they talk it out, and it's fine by the end of this Ponderosa. And yeah, I know what you mean. There's nobody else here that I'm interested in seeing them interact with a new person. Like, God, if Michaela could have made it one more week, I know she wouldn't have gotten voted out the first week after the merge, but if she, like, just having Michaela at these Ponderosas, I would love to see the little bit more confessionals while she's interacting with these people.
Like it's, if nothing else, I just want to see what Michaela would be doing in her off hours. Like, I'm sure, okay, it's like a 15-minute, it's a 15-minute Ponderosa video. Like, 12 minutes would have been dedicated to whoever the new person is, but we would have gotten to see 3 more minutes of Michaela every week, and I'd be okay with that.
We just, like, see Randy be pissed at, you know, fucking whatever at Ponderosa.
Oh, no, Randy. Randy was great whenever when he got to Ponderosa. He stopped caring. It was just like, it was, the video game player.
Chaos Cast is similar.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Once they're out of it, I can't remember his name all of a sudden, but the video game player from Westminster, California, he got in there and like he was super into the game when it happened, and he was going a little bit nuts and a little bit crazy, but then as soon as he got there, all of that was gone instantly, and he just ran up to Randy and was just like, oh man, I love you, man. I can't remember.
I will say the most interesting thing that happens in the Ponderosas is Michelle being all like, you know, I'm a missionary and it's great and I love Jesus and the Lord and anybody want to do shots? Let's do shots. She's the one like walking around with alcohol for everyone.
She's a modern Christian. All right, we should just go on to Bets and Fantasy then. We had no bets resolve. I thought we did. But I was wrong, happily wrong.
We have like 3 bets that are not going to get resolved too.
Yeah, that's fair. I don't even know what half our bets are.
There's one that's like the first Gen Xer who will say that they did something smart because they are a Gen Xer, and I said it would be Lucy. Nick said it would be Paul, and Brian said it would be Brett. So
Brian still have a chance.
Still has skin in the game,
but I don't hear that coming from Brett's mouth anymore. And similarly. The first millennial to say they did something crazy or dumb because they're a millennial. I said Will, Brian said Taylor, and Nick said Figgy. So I'm still in the running, but I kind of doubt it.
In fairness, there was someone who said it. Unfortunately, none of us had their name. It was Hannah. Yeah.
So, I mean, some of these bets just are going to fizzle, but
we're pathetic. All right. Well, then
wasn't that the point of that one that it was supposed to fizzle if somebody else did it? Oh, that's.
I thought that was, but then Andy was like, no, we're going to keep on checking. And that's why I stopped, because I was like, I don't want to check anymore. I'll just expand on that real fast, because checking in that one episode was such a pain in the ass, like remembering, okay, it has to be under these parameters or those parameters. And I'm like, oh my God, if I'm going to have to do this every time I watch an episode, I'm never going to get to pay attention. So I just stopped. All right, go ahead.
All right, so Brian came into the week at the bottom with 117. He gets 3 from Brett and 5 from Will, and he's going to stay at the bottom because he got 0 from Zeke. So he adds 8 onto his 117, giving him 125. I was second from the bottom, right in the middle. I had 121. I added 3 from Ken, 5 from Sunday because she went on the reward, and 3 from Hannah, giving me 132. Nick, fucking Nick, was in first and got the most points this week. Nick, you had 129. You got 5 from Jay because of the reward, 3 from David because he's a person who's there, and 7 from Adam for winning immunity and going to the reward.
Mm-hmm.
So you have 144. So it's Nick at 144.
That is gross.
Brian at 125.
I feel like
that
my
is
math.
Gross. You're right.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for getting my math. Thank you for getting my math pun. Well, we don't have anyone to add or drop anymore, so we can't really talk about our teams.
Brian is fucked.
Yeah, oh, look at this,
Brian.
With 5 keys,
I need
strokes.
To make like 6 or 7 bets and win them all.
Yeah. What and bets even do you want to make?
Because Nick's got 19 more points than I do. So
I'll bet you 35 points that Jay doesn't go out next week.
No.
I'm going to say no just to the spirit of that one. That violates the spirit of the game.
Yes, it does.
Yeah. Well then, yeah, no, I feel pretty good going forward. I now only have one idol left. No, wait. No, yeah, David used his, Adam used his. So I have one idol left. There's only two gimmicks left. There's the Legacy Advantage and then the regular idol. Oh, wait, no, sorry. There is the steal a reward.
Yes.
So we have three gimmicks. Man, this was a very gimmick-laden season.
Yeah, I mean, yes and no. It feels like it's gimmicks. But, I mean, if you also consider, like, Redemption Island to be a gimmick, that's a gimmick that happens every week.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just a rolling gimmick. And that gimmick takes up a lot more showtime than this.
Yeah, at least these are strategic gimmicks. But anyway, so I
Which
guess...
is crazy, by the way, that none of them have been played for the person who had them.
Yeah.
The idols. Yeah.
That's funny. Well, I think people realize an idol for yourself, it's a great idea, but... it's better in the long run to play it for someone else.
Jay's not giving that to anybody.
Well, and when you have the idol, you know, when you have the idol and you know other people know you have the idol, you're either going to get flushed and it won't matter, or they're not going to vote for you because they don't want your idol taking out who they're voting for. So your best bet in that case, if you don't have the numbers to flush the idol, then your best bet is to try and shoot at somebody else. And hope that they either keep it for themselves or you pull off the double bluff like last week.
Yeah.
That's your best bet if you can't successfully flush it.
Yeah.
And can't execute a brilliant blindside.
Right. So, I mean, yeah, and partly that's been because there have been so many idols that we've seen them get played. Because they're like, oh, there's going to be another one. I mean, if Jay plays his, there will have been four idols in this game. Or is it five? No, just
and if
four.
Jay plays... if Jay plays his, they will put another one back out there.
I don't know. This close to the end, they may not.
Yeah that's true.
There's still eight people left. Who this close to the
end? There's still, was it four more episodes at least?
Yeah. Well, we'll see how it goes.
Do it.
Yeah.
If Jay burns it next week, you put it out the following week. Yeah, you could do it.
Okay. Yep. In that case, does anyone have anything that they would like to add?
Shit.
Finally watching Luke Cage, first episode's pretty good.
Oh yeah, I finished it off and I kind of had zoned out a little bit towards the end, which is too bad because like literally the last two episodes were so good, and especially the end of the last one, it's a little, I don't want to say sanctimonious, that's the wrong word, a little heavy handed in its message, but I was like, it was delivered in a pretty interesting way and I enjoyed it. So overall it was. Like, I was talking to a friend of mine, and he said it was his favorite of the Marvel series, which I thought was, like, a little surprising, but it's good. I enjoy it. Jessica Jones is still my favorite.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah. I still haven't watched that one.
Oh, that's the best one.
Yeah. It's the best one because, at least in my opinion, it's a small story. Like, it's not about saving the world or anything. It's just about one person trying to, like, cope with a trauma that happened to them and then get justice for that trauma. It was really good.
How is it on the gratuitous violence?
Oh my God. It is extremely high on the gratuitous violence scale.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean,
I think one of the reasons I like that one the most is because that one was really fucked up.
Yeah.
See, because I'll tell you, that's what made us stop watching Daredevil is my wife stopped watching when
the Russian Kingpin impaled his eye. Oh, no. When got his
Kingpin
head crushed.
Used the car door. That's when my wife was like, I'm out, because he crushes the guy's head like 10 times, right? And in terms of getting the point across on screen, you only really needed to be twice, because then the next scene is, oh my God, my brother's dead. I must avenge. Like, the next scene is, oh my God, he died. So in terms of story and moving the story forward, I get it. You crush his head twice and then he's dead. I can make the connection that you did it with the car door. I don't need to actually see the car door slam eight times until it closes because the head is gone.
No. I actually feel that it was good to have it in there because it was a character establishing moment for Kingpin. Because up until that point, we'd seen him. Yeah. Up until that point, we'd seen him been like a behind the scenes kind of guy, but he was mostly kind of tranquil and quiet and a little bit anxious. So seeing that just raw fury come out of him was very character establishing. Because it comes out a couple of other times in seasons one and two. And I felt it was useful.
I agree. I just think you could do that with two or three door slams doesn't need to be like 8, 9, 10 or whatever, because at that point all you're doing is putting me off. And in terms of me watching the story, I'm intelligent enough to make that jump. I can fill in the gutter.
You see,
and then I stopped watching when we were getting Kingpin's backstory as a kid with the hammer.
Oh yeah, well,
that hammer comes down 12 times. I count it, and I mean, sure, 2, 3. If you really want to hammer it home, 4, 5.
Hey, see, actually,
but a dozen.
I mean,
God.
And I don't mean to invalidate what you're saying, because you're just giving your experience, and that's totally valid. But for me, I appreciated the extra wax, both with the hammer and with the door, because at that point, I could just go, I like 3 or 4, and I'm like, ooh, that's brutal. But when it just keeps going, it becomes a little bit goofy, and I can laugh at it. Not in an attention-breaking kind of laugh, you know what I mean? Like, oh, okay, now I don't have to feel gross. I can just feel like, oh my God, he's still going. Oh, this is so uncomfortable. That kind of thing, where it becomes a bit of black humor. So
see, and it made me sick, probably because D'Onofrio's portrayal of Kingpin is so good that I'm invested in the character to a certain degree. And because of that investment, I'm actually like invested in this boy. And the experience. So when it goes on that long, it makes me sick. If Kingpin wasn't portrayed so well, I would have laughed too. But at this point, I couldn't. And I was just like, I gotta turn this off. I'm getting sick, and it is like tickling my spine. And I know, I'll go watch something lighter, more my speed.
It was really good. I like that series as a whole. Season 2 got a little bit weird, but overall, I enjoyed it a lot. Anyway, if you want to hear about more opinions about Netflix original series, you can hear that on Bam Pow TV, also on Night of Living Geeks. There you go. I need to go to bed, so I'm going to hit the end button very, very soon. But in the meantime, everyone, you know, we got a couple more weeks. Hang in there. This is a good season. We just unfortunately don't really care about Ponderosa this time around. It happens.
Nope.
All right. We'll see you guys next week then. Take care. Goodbye.
Cheers.
Of the Living Geeks.